Right. So the issue there was that we actually met, as Delcia said, the Minister of Labour was actually even at the meetings and instructed or said to the sanitation that they need to pay the workers unless they can prove otherwise. Right. So why is it that they were docked the workers' pay without having the proof? Mm-hmm. So this is our issue. You should have all the proof first before you dock somebody's pay. Not dock their pay and then you want time to look for proof to decide who to pay, who not to pay.
Not only that, they wanted time. The reason why it got to the Ministry of Labour is because sanitation wanted us to prove that a person should have been paid, rather than the other way around, right? That matter is being resolved. It is taking longer than we anticipated since an agreement was reached a long time ago. But I think sanitation accepted, and so did the Ministry of Labour, that a number of those workers have to be paid.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. And we have a number of people here for some questions for you. Go right ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Good day, sir.
Good day.
I'm on air.
Yes, go right ahead. It's right. 11:42. No. We stop at 11:55. So we're doing rapid fire here.
I heard the lady there was talking about
Miss Burke. Thank you.
Situation there where she said that the former prime minister had indicated that, or the law stated that that prior to 2007, if you were working 3 years prior to 2007, to that effect, she can clear it with me again. Mm-hmm. But I look at the definition for the word prior, which tells me before.
Yeah.
But if I am in a job before 2007, or 3 years, or even 3 years after 2007, the law would have indicated or have spoken for all those people who were then after 2007. It begins. If you in the job before 2007, and that would constitute after 2007, the point is that I can't see why you would have to make an application for to be recognized or put on staff after 2007. The word is before 2007.
All right, sir. I'll let that still respond. Thank you for your question.
As you said, when you started, prior means before. The Act says if you put 3 or more years, if you had 3 or more years of service before December 2007, so you could go back to December 2001, 2, 3, 4, up to December 2004, you qualified to be appointed automatically. It does not say after. So after the Act talks about what happens, how you are now appointed. So because the Act said prior to December 2007, you would be appointed. It doesn't mean now that every 3 years prior, because as I said earlier, December 2007 will not come again. You have had those persons appointed, therefore you have to start afresh. If this government or any other government wants to put something like that in place again, then we'd have to go to the House of Assembly to amend the Public Service Act. But as it stands, December 2007 was the cutoff period. Anybody with 3 years or more before December 2007 would have been appointed based on the Public Service Act.
And most of the people who are going to be appointed now that the Prime Minister talked about on Sunday would have into that category.
Not to December 2007, but they would fall into the category of persons. No, we had asked the NUPW, that was one of our non-salary proposals, mm-hmm. that persons with 3 or more years be appointed. Mm-hmm. So that now does not, it would sort of mimic 2007, but it would not be the same. Mm-hmm. And in the Minister of Finance's budgetary proposals, He said he was going to appoint persons for 3 years or more, and that is what they are supposed to be doing now. But it's a proposal that came from NUPW, but it would not be the same thing as 2007 because 2007 was specifically set out in the air.
All right, take another call. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Price. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. I just would like to make a few points here. I would like first to say that I support Mr. Commerson in the fact that that piece of legislation that is before the House and the Senate needs to be widely discussed, and I support the independent senators as well. I think that this is a piece of legislation that needs more interaction and should even be brought before the public. I am wondering why some certain things are white raising the head not this time, and so, but I do think that legislation needs to be looked at more widely and more deep. I don't know what is the vision behind it, despite I know that we have crime and so in Barbados. We got to nip it in the bud, but it also says sometimes on how you do and approach things. I don't like the way that this is being done just between two people. I think that at the end of the day, when anything happens, there should be a caucus, and there is somewhere where Parliament has to be involved and so.
All right. We take another. Thank you very much. We take another call. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, okay.
Go right ahead.
Morning to the workers' union staff and Mr. Sanka. My question is, the Prime Minister made mention of hundreds of persons to be appointed earlier in the.
No. Don't.
Am I wrong?
Don't try that. All right. You can't say that because you do not have the evidence. What evidence do you have? If you're going to make those sort of statements, no, you don't need to apologize. I just want you to if you're going to make a statement like that, to give us some sort of evidence.
All right, I don't want to go any further because I don't want
right,
to.
But
to
we'll ask you a question.
Know the person for long, but let me just make my point.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to appoint, you said, hundreds of persons. No, and yet I understand that there are persons being employed at the moment. Now, my question is, since the country is in dire need of funds and you're paying so much money and millions of money when the months come to pay salaries, how are you going to be finding money now to pay these persons when you appointed them?
All right, thanks for your question. I will just throw that out to you. I think Asakori has been trying to deal with that because that is one of the things that the union is saying, reasons given as why the government can't afford to pay the 23% that the union is asking. Okay, it's 11:49. We take one more call. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Price, and your guests.
Good morning. Morning, sir.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad that Ms. Burt is there, and Mr. Beckles, that's his name?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good morning to both of you all.
Good morning to you.
Ms. Burt,
mm-hmm.
I believe you can help me. Persons working in Beautify Barbados, every 2 years, is it true they had to sign a contract to start again?
As far as
in other words, were they on 2 year contract?
They were on yearly contracts, as far as I'm aware. I'm not sure if it was. I never heard about the 2 year contracts. Every year they were given a new contract.
In other words, then they were working that every year. They were. In other words, they went home 13 times in the time they was working. They were saying home 13 times they were reemployed.
As far as I'm aware, they were never sent home. They had a contract. When the contract came to an end, or a little before the contract came to an end, they were issued with a new contract.
No, what I meant is, if you have a contract for a year, the company or whoever you're working for will have to decide to re-employ you. So, in other words, when that year is up, you're no longer employed. You will be re-employed when the business or government decides to re-employ you again for a year, two, whatever is the time frame. In other words, we have a moderator who his contract never was renewed, and he'll work things. Right or wrong?
I am not aware of that.
Okay, what I'm trying to say is this.
Mm-hmm.
When a person get a job, a temporary job, for years in Barbados,
mm-hmm.
and you being a person in the union, and your son was young with some of the young union people. The government over the years had this habit of picking on people in all, especially statutory boards. Mm-hmm. Somebody go on vacation and they pick on someone. And when the person come back up to return to work, most of the time, those workers continue to work. Right or wrong?
Well, most of the time.
Okay. I say that to say this. We understand anyone working for 5, 10, 15 years or whatever it is, after time, they believe that they're part of the company. But the main thing, they are working on contract. Like, right now we have a debushing on plots and a pothole things going on. As we listened to the ministers well, last year, people was employed for that job.
All right, sir. We got to take a break. I'm sorry that we had to cut you here. But we will take a break here, and we will be right back after the regional roundup, where we'll continue this discussion with our guests from the National Union of Public Workers. So please stay tuned.
Yes, my name is Mr. Blood. They call me Mr. Bacchanal. That's right. And hey, let me tell you about Bacchanal. You could cause real Bacchanal if you do not practice.
Welcome back. It's 12:07. Welcome back to Brass Stacks. We still have our guests here, Mr. Asakori Beckles and Ms. Delcia Burke from the National Union of Public Workers. We go back to the phone lines first before we go back to them. You're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Good afternoon, Sanka.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
I'm very fine.
Good.
I would like to say a few things. One, that the president of the union cannot call a strike. Mm-hmm. That is not in his purview to do. Mm-hmm. It does not work like that in the National Union of Public Workers. And I believe that I could speak with some kind of authority on that, having been a past president. It's a collective responsibility, and the membership and that body has to, the council has to decide on what they will do and put it to the members, and then it goes from there. The other thing about...
All right, this is me qualify that. Ms. Delcia Burke also dealt with that. In fact, her words were, and I'm not really quoting her, but her words were to the effect of that Mr. McDowell could want to say or do anything that he wants to say or do. But the members are the ones who decide whether there will be a strike or not.
Yes, yeah. As a members' organization,
yes.
They decide.
Yes.
The other thing is, yes, that this question about wages negotiations, the word negotiation, I guess you can find the elucidation for it. But if the government could start at zero, it means that the National Union of Public Workers or any union could start at 100.
Very true.
the middle part there is negotiations. And I have had the opportunities years ago to go into negotiations. We started after our research. It is not done willy-nilly, as Delphia and the treasurer will tell you, Mr. Beckles. Lots of work goes into the whole question what your figure will be that you're going for. And sometimes, even though the figure works out even higher, you're going probably a little lower. But it comes down to the negotiation. Lots of work goes into these things. And when John and Jim Public get out there and talk about the union coming in too high and all this kind of nonsense, it's total nonsense. Well, they can't say the government coming too low. It means that the public workers must never, ever get a playing field that they can play on in terms of when they have to go to the supermarket and buy these things as a result of the NSRL and the all high kind of prices that are all over the place. 9 years is a long time. And you must know in advance, all they know, what the salary bill will be in 2019, 20, and probably beyond. That is a sine qua non. And therefore, preparations must be made to have the payments for those public servants. Or not, the government will have to go to business, and that will not happen. So therefore, you have to find the money from somewhere to pay. But the negotiation is important. If they stand at zero, and you start at 100, you come to a common place along the line. You negotiate and negotiate and negotiate. You call the people to the table. I remember well in 1991, when the 8% cut came, we had thousands of meetings leading up to whatever the final result was. Meeting after meeting after meeting every week, sometimes twice a week, till we get to a point that either you agree on or disagree on, and whatever happened, and the consequences followed. But these are the things that the public needs to understand. You cannot tell the union that it can't come in at that kind of a price, or that kind of a percentage, and tell the union, and don't tell the government that they should come in at zero. I rest my case. Have a great afternoon.
All right, sir. Thank you. Just read this one here. Mr. Beckles did not answer the WhatsApp question on productivity. He totally misunderstood the question. The question meant to ask the union, besides hunting down money for the members, show the evidence you encourage workers to increase their performance, not by electric cars provided by government, but by improved work ethic. Sankey, you talked about your visit to offices where workers are using their devices and not attending to customers. You want to handle that, Asakuri?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I will let that pass, Ibeke, because for me to try to say right now that that's the union's responsibility to get a salary increase is quite, I would have to say no. It is not the union's responsibility to do that, to get a salary increase. That is something that the union is ongoing doing. We have a training school and we educate our workers on a range of topics, and productivity is definitely one of them. So we always promote productivity.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, productivity is one of them. Those seminars are conducted by the Productivity Council. We facilitate them, but they are conducted by the Productivity Council.
I see. I have a problem with the, this is another one. I have a problem with the workers, including managers. We have a big lack of maintenance problem, mm-hmm. that is costing taxpayers lots of money every day. Mm-hmm. Unions must do more to reduce costs in order to have a credible demand for the big increase they want.
We must do more to reduce costs, the NUPW?
But the NUPW has been saying to the government, let UCAL fix the transport board buses. Let the sanitation mechanics fix the sanitation trucks. It is going to be cheaper and you're going to be able to get a lot more done. We have asked employers to maintain buildings because a lot of buildings affect our workers. What else can NUPW do?
All right. At present, there are a lot of temporary workers at secondary schools with 10 and 15 years in service and can't get an appointment. Why is this happening? Mr. Prime Minister, I hope you are listening. This is frustrating. Your part would be, is it true that there will be a lot of temporary workers at secondary schools, 10 to 15 years experience?
I'm not sure. We don't deal with secondary schools unless he's talking about ancillary workers. Mm-hmm. But as far as I am aware, if you're talking about teachers, the majority of them would have been appointed. I don't know if they are ancillary workers, but if there are ancillary workers at schools, then they should fall under the same 3 years. And this is what we are insisting. Maybe go to statutory boards, that the government has said anybody with 3 years or more will be appointed, and we expect the same thing to happen at these institutions.
Sankey, just to go back a little bit on that whole thing about maintenance of buildings, we, NUPW, have been fighting a fight with immigration right now. Mm-hmm. It's come to a point whereby we've had to ask our workers to take some steps. Delcia?
Yeah. Okay, yes. The Minister of Labour made some comments in response to this issue. The NUPW has been for the last more than a year meeting with the immigration officials to bring some sort of relief to the persons at the immigration department. We have a number of workers who work in that department who are sick, who are exposed to mold and mildew and all kinds of other things. We have one worker there who is on a year's sick leave. I have never heard about anybody given a year's sick leave until now. So you would understand how bad her situation is. Her condition is irreversible. She has to stay on medication for the rest of her life. The doctor has said it is as a result of her exposure to mold. The minister said if the workers come out after 4 hours, they can dock their pay. And I find that strange because the NUPW has not consulted and has not gone through the process. We sit every month and meet with persons on this issue. And one of the committee, or at least two of the persons on the committee, work with the Ministry of Labor. They're labor officers. So I'm a little shocked at the reaction. The Ministry of Labor is responsible for safety and health in the workplace. What the minister should be saying is that she is going to investigate this matter. and see if she can bring it to a head or to an end as soon as possible. We have been fighting this matter, as I said, for over a year. We have been given deadlines, and the persons are still in that building. The immigration building is now a condemned building, but workers are still in there. We are fighting that fight. So I find it a little strange that somebody should ask. And I mean, we have been fighting fights with the old National Insurance Building. We have been fighting with the drug service. We have asked for persons to be removed from a number of buildings because the buildings are sick.
I mean, so, Sanka, we have an issue where we have, as Delcy said, multiple workers with respiratory issues and similar issues. I mean, there was a point last year where a worker passed, and she passed with similar issues. And you had other workers in that department scared. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes beyond productivity. It makes workers feel like this is what I'm coming to work to every day. Mm-hmm. So this sick building thing goes to another level when it comes to immigration. I remember there were deadlines in last year, September, mm-hmm. and I think it was December. And then this is February. So we've discussed and agreed, not the NEPW gave deadlines, we agree with the immigration department of these deadlines. Mm-hmm. And these deadlines are being pushed back. And NEPW has been more than reasonable, and the workers, I should say, have been more than reasonable, because these workers, I could tell you, immigration workers love to work. They stay on the job. This is at a point where the NEPW say, you know what, we need to take a step back and ask the workers to work a certain period of time and go home a certain period of time, because you cannot work in that building. But that building is
awful. It's awful. Even for persons who go in there, they complain. I mean, you have a minister of labor, and that her response is, if persons go home after 4 hours, I will dock their pay.
Are you happy with the, well, I know you're not, but I need for you to say this. The sort of response you're getting from the Minister of Labor or from government in general to complaints about workers feeling sick and the need to address workers, the conditions of work that public servants were under. Are you getting that sort of empathy? Are you getting a positive response? Are you satisfied with what is happening?
You would know from the response that we got from the minister about the people at the immigration department. That's the normal thing. I don't know if they think people are making sport. And the strange thing is that if you have a minister who goes into an office today, he renovates the entire office, changes the chair, everything. You understand? And if he moves tomorrow after a week and another minister goes, the same things happen. But it is hard for the public servants to work under these conditions. And then when persons are unable to work or do not work, they're accused of being slack and lazy and they're not productive and that kind of thing. But nobody says that the conditions under which a lot of them are being asked to work are not suitable.
Yeah, even the Treasury Department right now, we have the same issues with the building being sick. And under Section 104, mm-hmm. A worker can withdraw their labor mm-hmm. under those conditions. You have the Health and Safety Act. I mean, the Minister of Labor should know these things. Mm-hmm. And they should know how long the NEPW has been fighting this fight and these different departments, because they're coming to a head. We cannot expect to put workers in those kind of conditions forever.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines, because we take a break, of course, at 12:30 for the latest. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Mm-hmm. Yes, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hello. How are you today?
I am good. And yourself?
Oh, I am always good when I'm here at Brastax talking to my audience. Go right ahead.
Okay. I would like to direct my question to Ms. Burke. You spoke earlier about the appointments that was promised by the Minister of Finance in his last budget speech. Mm-hmm. Honestly, how has that process been coming along? Because we hear these things in the media where people will say workers are going to get their appointments. But as far as I heard that there were some committees that how easy was that process in getting these appointments? Or did anybody get appointments as yet?
To be quite honest, we know that some small categories have been appointed, some nurses, but we have been told on the air by the Prime Minister that by March the 3rd or the 1st, these categories, clerical officers, postmen, security guards, will be appointed. We do not have any official word. that this is going to happen. I know some persons have been appointed since very small groups, but as I said, we have not been given anything official about the persons that the Prime Minister spoke about at the political meeting.
I was aware that there was a committee Saturday with this appointment. Mm-hmm. Did NUPW attend any of those meetings?
Well, as far as I'm aware, NUPW was invited to attend one meeting. And I don't know who made the decisions to appoint and how they would appoint and when or why. But as far as I'm aware, NUPW attended one meeting.
So you're saying you had no input as to who would be, who should go forward?
But our original proposal was that persons with over three years service should be appointed, but to the finer details, no.
So is it possible that people who would have only had a year in the service could have been appointed?
Is that
what you're trying to get at right now?
Yeah.
Anything is possible.
So what are you seeing, Carla, or what are you hearing?
As far as I'm aware, persons who just went into the service, they are the persons who are getting the appointments and not necessarily the persons who NUPW would have made representation for, as far as I know.
As the caller said, we made representation for a number of persons. Our members came in and they brought the names and their particulars, and we took them, we sent them to the PAD. What needs to happen is that if those persons are not appointed, then they need to get back to NUPW. We will be policing this.
Mm-hmm. Because I understand there's a lot of cherry picking going on as far as the appointments are concerned. Mm-hmm. And I know that a committee was set up for with the union and the PAD to work out these appointments. Mm-hmm. But as far as I was told, that never really happened. Mm-hmm. So I am wondering how can a prime minister now come out in the public and say persons are being appointed when the NUPW have not been part of the process?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
It would be great if the Minister of Labour can call in, or somebody from PAD could call in and clarify this, because it would be interesting to know if the accusation that cherry picking is going on is actually going on. I think that the public interest, we should have that clarified, because I would think that, and I want you to respond to this, mm-hmm. I would think that if you're going to have people who've just recently gone into the service being appointed and they're sitting and next to people who have been in the service for many years, mm-hmm. and who have not been appointed, that this is going to cause some tension in that office. Do you actually get cases of this occurring?
Well, we have not had this situation before. We had the situation with the 2007. There were a number of persons who have still not been appointed, even though they qualify for appointment on the 2007 Act. But we have not had, what we have had is that they have followed the procedure in the act, and we see that sometimes they use that procedure to do exactly what she is calling cherry picking. You say you go through an interview process, you do this, somebody's in a department working for a long period of time but are not qualified to fill a post after working for a number of years. So to me, they are using the act really to do what you are asking about.
All right, we go back to the phone lines. Go right ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, Sanger.
Yes, it is.
Hi, just want to ask Mr. Beckles one question.
Sure.
Are appointments valid after Parliament dissolves on March 6th?
Yeah.
The appointments are made by the Governor General, and they are valid.
Yeah, it doesn't go up with the government.
Okay, I just want to know, right?
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Interesting question. Mm-hmm. My wife is a clerical officer in government and has been temporary for 12 years. Mm-hmm. She is still not appointed. Mm-hmm. And I'm only reading that because scores of WhatsApp messages here where people are complaining that they're not appointed. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that cherry picking is going on.
It's like, so I have about 10 years and I'm temporary worker still.
Sorry.
I have about 10 years in government and I'm still temporary.
I heard you the first time. I said sorry because I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Yes.
So Asokori Beckles,
the General Treasury, NEPW, is still not appointed. And I have about 10 years in government.
Okay. So what is the criteria for appointment?
Well, the criteria is set out in the Public Service Act. And you're supposed to advertise posts, but what you can do is if you don't want to appoint, as of course, not advertise the posts, What we have asked our members to do and what they have done is that is they're bringing the information to us, and we sent that information to PAD. So we are policing any information that we have on behalf of our members. So if his wife has 12 years and she's not appointed, then she probably needs to get on to the NUPW with her information if she has not done so already.
The lady is right. This is a Marina WhatsApp message. The lady is right. A lot of people are coming in and getting appointed right away. Mm-hmm. These ministers are getting too involved with the process. Mm-hmm.
We have heard that too, that persons are coming in appointed. I check on a daily, on a weekly basis, the Official Gazette, and that is how we monitor appointments. They have to go into the Gazette, and I really have not had, I don't know if it happens in the statutory boards, but in the public service, I have not seen really any of that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can Ms. Burke explain if persons who have accumulated time before being sent home in 2014, then rehired by a board, then re-entering the public service in 2016, until now, if they are entitled to be appointed, once the time adds up to over 3 years?
No, it doesn't work that way. It has to be 3 continuous years.
Yeah. But it's 12:26 and we're going to break at 12:30. I just want to get back here to the whole situation with Asakori, because if I recall, Mr. McDowell
he has a substantive post, so he was appointed first as an environmental health officer. Mm-hmm. And he was acting as a health planner. And he had to be reverted because, the Dusty could speak more to his situation, which was
me. I really what I really want to get to is, why would you, a statistician, and I understand you have a degree and a master's.
I have a master's in statistics as well.
Master's in statistics, because I know that about you. Mm-hmm. Why would you be fully qualified? The statistical department is supposed to be understaffed.
Yes.
Okay? But yet you are not appointed. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me either. Actually, the government of Barbados sent me to do my scholarship to get my master's done. I came back in this since 2013, so this is about going 4 or 5 years now since I have a master's. Uh-huh. And I have yet to be appointed. I'm actually qualified to be director of the statistical department, so I can't speak to why I have not been appointed. You have to ask the Public Service Commission, because I went to multiple interviews. And some of those interviews have yet, after an entire year, given me a result. So the NEPW is going through a process of finding out why, after doing an interview a year ago, why have I not received a notification as to that result of those interviews.
Interesting stuff. Well, we'll be right back. Roberta Dowell is here and she's ready to give us what's the latest in Barbados. And so stay with us. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's now 12:44. Unfortunately, today we finish at 1 because it's been a really good session based on the way our board is lit up and based on the number of WhatsApp we have here. What I want to do right now is I want to take a couple of calls. And what you can do, callers, please, we have to be quick because we close at 1 today. So just ask your question and we'll get a response from you if you want to talk to the panel. So first question, you're on the air. Good afternoon. All right, we take another one. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Go right ahead with your question, sir. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Wow, what's happening here? Oh, good afternoon, you're on the air. All right, we try this one last time. Good afternoon, you're on the air. All right. Now, let me just deal with this WhatsApp, because this person has sent like something like 27 submissions on WhatsApp. So I really have to read, and I'm going to focus just on the ones that relate to the union. The person is questioning whether appointments should be done in the public service in consultation with the NUPW. NUPW really should not talk, as they do exactly that to their own staffers. Quickly, any response, panel?
Well, I really don't know how to respond to that, because our staff is not appointed in the same manner in which the public servants are appointed. We don't have to go through the processes that they go through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, surely the executive of the union understands why government does this, as they too practice the same cherry picking for staffing and UPW. That's Miski's statement, which you don't have to respond to because there's the evidence of that. Mm-hmm. And the person also wants to know, and maybe this is best for Asukori, and this is a political question. Please ask about the opposition funding of executive members' campaign and the NUPW constitution's laws concerning this, as it seems to be giving rise to the suspicions about the mandate of this current executive.
I mean, if the person knows something that they want to tell me or even give me some money, I would surely take the money. So I'm not sure if what the person is speaking of, they might know something that I don't. Because I use my own personal money to fund my electoral process for the NUPW. If they want to offer some money, sure, I'll take it.
All right. And the person is also, this is at you as well, Mr. Beckles. Are there posts available for you? Is he a statistician, an economist? The union needs to say where. Okay. You want to answer that one?
Well, look, yes, there are no statisticians that are appointed. The acting statisticians are appointed. So all the statisticians there are temporary right now.
And we're talking about the statistical department.
Yeah, statistical department. Right. Mm-hmm. The senior statisticians right now, they're all acting senior statisticians. There's actually one who's a temporary officer who was acting statistician before. The director has been acting. He's appointed senior statistician. He's been acting deputy before that. The deputy who recently retired, he was acting deputy. And the deputy now is still acting deputy.
But it brings up a concern that I did an article sometime back about the amount of acting positions at the highest level in terms of permanent secretaries and deputy permanent secretaries. What does the union have concerns about this, the level of the amount of people who are acting in the public service?
Of course we do, but I think that that is designed to keep people in place. If you are acting, you don't have the same leverage as if you are appointed. As I said, it's a lot more difficult to dismiss someone if they are appointed than if they are temporary. Mm-hmm. So that if you have a lot of persons, enough persons who are temporary, then you have a certain amount of control, because persons are going to be scared that they are victimized in one way or the other, dismissed, mm-hmm. if they take a particular position.
All right, we only have 12 more minutes to go. Let me get this one question in. The subsidy, why, you know, there's this coping subsidy or one-off payment, whatever it wants to be called. The union has not taken that. I know that there are some people who have said, you should have taken the money. Why have you not taken this money?
Okay, on the 15th of December last year, we were invited to a meeting with the Ministry of the Civil Service. The permanent secretary, Mr. Ford, who negotiates on behalf of the government, said to us that he was bringing two scenarios to us, not two proposals, two scenarios. He said he and his peers had sat down and come up with these proposals and with these scenarios, and if the NUPW accepted them, he would take it to the Minister of Finance and the Minister of the Civil Service and get back to us. The first scenario would have paid $464.85 across the board and $2,958.53 at the top. So the $464 would have been at the bottom, and the $29.70 would have been at the top. He gave another scenario, which would have paid $1,162.13 at the bottom, and $29.58.53 at the top. We said we would go away and study it and come back. He was very clear to point out, and he also said in writing that this would not affect your wages negotiations. This was a one-off payment that had nothing whatsoever to do with the wages and salaries accord. The NUPW met with the membership because we are negotiating on behalf of persons. We met with the membership, and the membership asked us to do a counter proposal, which is what unions do. We submitted a proposal. We asked that everybody be paid $2,500 across the board, with the understanding that it wouldn't be taxable, as the PS has said, it would not be pensionable, and it would not affect the salaries and wages negotiations. Those would go on, but you were just giving persons something in their hand as, I guess, a bonus, a thank you for the hard work, whatever. We submitted that proposal on about the 20th of December. We submitted our counter to the scenarios. We have not heard a word about that. So public servants seem to think that we have turned down what the government offered. Government never offered, and the scenario that was put to us, we did not turn it down.
Right. The only thing I want to add to that is that when the PSC Civil Service said that he spoke to his peers, we asked specifically, was that a mandate? Your peers, can you be specific as who your peers were? His peers were his colleagues and not the Prime Minister who would have given him a mandate. So we were quite perplexed to this situation. We were like, well, we've been sitting here with you over 2 years. And up to now, after 2 years, you still have not been given a mandate to negotiate a salary increase. At least come here and sit with us and have some kind of leeway to negotiate. So after 2 years, he did not even get a mandate to discuss the one-off payment. He was saying that after 2 years, something should be given to the workers. That is what him and his peers said. And we want the NEPW to support our agreement to some scenarios we are going to throw to you. And we gave him the reasons for our scenario. So he could have taken his three scenarios plus the NEPW scenario to his peers, I mean to his principals, and his principal then make a decision as to what they want to give. We can't reject. The government of Barbados could say, I want to give each worker $2,000 if they wanted to, and we can't deny that. Our workers will accept. It's not something the NEPW denies. We just think our workers deserve $2,500. If you want NEPW's participation and acceptance as it is, this is what we want for our workers. Let's dismiss that whole idea. It's something that the NEPW denied. That was just something the PSC Civil Service said he thought he could take to his principals from his discussions with his principals. But no mandate was given. Mm-hmm. None, up to now. So isn't it more disrespectful after 2 years of negotiation not to even give the people that you sit to negotiate with NEPW a mandate to negotiate? 2 years and no mandate. Well, I have to say not two, because it'd be since 2010. So there's 8 years and no mandate to negotiate.
Well, let's go into a couple of callers before we close off. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon, sir. I can hear you. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. It seems to me that the NUPW have a lot of different bosses and they speak about the same thing with different ways.
What makes you say that?
Well, for instance, I listened to the lady and I listened to the gentleman. She is saying that that offers were made and they made counter offer.
That's not what she said. That is not what she said.
Well, you tell me what she said then. Tell me what she said. That's what you heard her say. An offer was made and they made a counter offer.
A scenario was, but it was not, and the PS was very clear when he pointed out, it was not a proposal, it was not an offer, it was a scenario that if we accepted, he would take to his principals, to the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance.
Was it given in writing?
Yes, it was given in writing. But I will tell you how it was written. Scenario one. And scenario two. It was never an offer.
Which one did you accept?
We did not accept either one.
But that's
the no, no. Caller, let me clarify you on something, because this is not my first negotiation, right? If it was an offer and the NEPW accepted that offer, then therefore the body which made the offer should have the authority to make the offer, correct? The body, the person, the individual who made the offer has to have the authority to make the offer, correct?
Yeah.
Good. The body, the person, the individual said they did not have the authority to make any offer.
And that is why it was not an offer. Yeah. And that's why the person said it was a scenario. Yeah.
So you're wasting time then?
No. That means the person, the body, the individual wasted the NUPW's time.
Oh, well, yes, it seems that way too.
Good, thank you.
But there's one other point I want to make very quickly. The gentleman who was making this scenario about which was going to pollute, ask that gentleman what were we doing before we had the sewage system. All the wells, all the toilets and so on went back into the ground in a raw form. They filtered through the limestone process to become water 3 or 6 months later. So at times, we didn't always have a sewage system. We had suck wells, pit toilets, and runoff from the roads, and it all went back into the ground in a raw form. And it was filtered through the limestone process. We've been on that since 2 days. But I don't know if he got his food, just so I'm going to loot something.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. We take another caller. It's 12:56. Okay. So I think that we go. Let's wrap up. Of course, today we started talking about the situation with the police amendment bill. And I would like to say that we all of us should follow the argument with that. Yes, those who are listening and who sent in these scores of WhatsApp messages on that one, I've managed to look at them, but as you can see, we really can't read a lot of them. Well, most of them. In fact, I don't think I read any at all. but there's a lot of support for Mr. David Comes-Young, and there's a lot of disapproval of what is being contemplated in that act. People are getting the idea, and people seem to understand what a curfew means, and when you cordon off an area and have a curfew, that when they're searched, they can be searched without a warrant. Their property can be searched without a warrant. Their vehicle can be searched without a warrant. And they are responding to that. In terms of our guests here now, they have also generated a tremendous response because, quite frankly, people are concerned. They want their money, as some people here are saying. Some people are saying that they want their money after 9 years. Also, the appointments, this seems not to be something that's very comfortable to a lot of people, because what I'm reading here and what one caller suggested is that the appointments are, there's a lot of cherry picking going on. And this, of course, we would like someone from the government side to come and say exactly what is happening. We have at least one more minute to go. So, Asukori and Delcia, I give you 30 seconds each.
Yeah, what the NUPW is still hoping to see is that public servants are offered some sort of relief in terms of a salary increase. NUPW is still open and still available to sit down and discuss an increase.
You're hoping to get that before the election?
Yeah, well, yes.
And suppose they come out now with an offer as against a scenario.
Well, you'd have to consider any offer that is brought us, and our decision will be made based on what that offer is.
Right, and my closing remarks basically is that I would like people out there, the listeners, to understand that just because you hear it is all doom and gloom and the government can't pay workers any money, that does not mean it is the case. I speak facts and I speak my statistics, my numbers. So unless you can bring counter evidence, then all workers could deserve a salary increase and the government could afford it. Thank you.
All right. And this is Sanka Price on behalf of Dennis Johnson, thanking you for being with us today, February 6th. We've had a really good session. I hope that you gained a lot from it and you'll join us tomorrow for another edition of Getting Down to Brass Tacks.